Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I am Jeremy Lambert, joined as always, Joseph Holgard. Joseph, not the show we thought we were going to do.
No, it's a big day for us, a special show. We sure got thrown off there, right? Last minute.
Yeah.
This is how things happen, folks. Live TV, right? That's what we say, Jeremy. So we're here to do the show we intended to do, but not really. Clearly, we have other stuff to talk about, it seems. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes, we will talk about WWE releases. The embargo has been lifted on my Fiend and Orton and Alexa Bliss takes. We have an update on Becky Lynch and where she was. Robert O'Neill will join us for Robert O'Neill's Corner 3. It's going to still be a fun show, but it's certainly not the show that we thought it was going to be. JJ sends a super chat and says, hello, my favorite big stars. I hope you're doing well, especially after talent cuts, trying to be positive like last year. Do you think this was planned? Joe was taken off commentary. Love you. I mean, clearly it was planned. Like, it was definitely going to be planned. Sean will join us. I don't know when. Like, Sean's a busy person, but he will join us. He knows we're talking releases immediately. I told him to, you know, pop on. So he will be here. I promise everyone he will be here. If it's your first time watching us, I mean, hopefully you enjoy.
Tough luck. Help.
Yeah. Promise you, we're fun. We have a lot of fun, Michael. Not tonight, not today. Bud Ryan says, "Here to see the greatest two showmen in podcasting." I'm hoping a 4 30-minute segment in Joseph Fantasy Booking Joe Destinations. Love you guys. Let's get into it. WWE released a bunch of talent starting around 2 o'clock. 9 names on the list. The full list is Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Mickey James, Chelsea Green, Tucker, Kalisto, Wesley Blake, Bo Dallas, Peyton Royce. The first two were Mickey James and Billy Kay, and then they started to kind of trickle in after that. I was stunned when I saw Billy Kay because she was just on WrestleMania. She was featured weekly on television. I was absolutely stunned. Mickey James, not so much. I hate to say that, because they just weren't doing anything with her. And then the other names started to come in. Joseph, like, I know who stands out to us. Samoa Joe is the big one for us. But overall, encompassing thoughts on these releases?
So you said the word surprise. And for me, the only one that surprised me was Billy Kay. The rest were either people that they clearly had nothing for, or the Samoa Joe situation, which I kind of alluded to sensing. That was an issue there. There was something that they were going to have to overcome with Joe because he wanted to wrestle. He was very public about it. So that was one that surprised me. I'm always torn in these situations because you never want to see anyone lose their jobs. First things first, that's the most obvious part of this that we should all agree on. And, you know, I mean, we also agree that their roster is too big. And beyond that, and this is way bigger, my not having to live and walk in their shoes, my thing will always be, they're my favourite wrestlers, man. I want to see them being pro wrestlers. And for most people on this list, they weren't able to be. Now, for Samoa Joe, it's unique, and we can get into him a little bit more detail, I think. But for the rest of the crew, if you love these men and women, like, I hope you're going to see them be themselves now and, like, get on television for whatever emotion it will be. I know it's hard to follow, but for most of these, other than Billy Kay again, who was on TV regularly, it's like, good for them, man. I'm hoping things work out and they get to be featured and prove people wrong, you know?
Anakin JMT says, thought I'd stop by for a second, say have a great show. Stay positive, especially you, Jeremy. Well, I'm always positive. What are we talking about? I was looking forward to a nice, easy, relaxing Thursday, kind of ease into the weekend after a long mania week. WWE just said, fuck off with that. I'm with you. So I literally, as I hit publish on a post where, you know, they just did this last year, Joseph, same day, April 15th last year, they did a bunch of releases. And on Twitter, guys like Leo, girls like Deanna, Maria Kanellis, the Good Brothers, like they were reacting, like they were reflecting on Tay Conti. Like they were reflecting, like a year ago, it sucked. 1 year later, like we're doing pretty well. Like everything's good. And so I just hit publish on this post where people were reflecting on being released where they were a year later. And right then the releases started to come in. And that kind of gave me the perspective of like, right now, this sucks. This really sucks for these people because they've lost their job. They've all got 90-day non-compete clauses. They'll continue to get paid, which is good. But still, they've lost their job. Whatever they were making, they're probably going to be making less elsewhere. But a year from now, we're going to look back on these releases. And I would imagine that most of these men and women are probably going to be doing pretty well. Like I cannot, Samoa Joe is going to succeed wherever he goes, right? Like Mickey James, wherever she wants to go, she's going to have a nice little role there. Chelsea Green, everyone sees the star potential in her. Mm-hmm. Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, they can reunite. They can have a great run wherever they want to go. Like I feel like most of these names, they're going to be okay depending on what they want to do and where they go.
Look, I think you mentioned last year's releases, and it's relevant here because as silly as this sounds, if nothing else, it feels like what was the need to do this exactly 1 year? I know this is picking, you know, this is a tiny thing, I guess, in the big picture. Good Lord, can you read the room for once? But nonetheless, it was worse a year ago. To get cut a year ago was worse because everything was in doubt. Is it good now? No, but to your point, like, I think, you know, these are all talented people for the most part. Haven't been able to show that they're talented at all on WWE TV, for the most part. You mentioned Mickey James in there, and it's like, Mickey needed to get out. I mean, just plain and simple. Like, she's not got a bunch of years ahead of her where she can be active the way she can right now. There's no good for me as a fan of Mickey James, just watching her do nothing. Like, this, you know, and it's the same with Samoa Joe. He has a few more years where he can be Samoa Joe, to me anyway. That's what my heart tells me. I don't need him to be wasting that in the commentary. He can do that for 20 years afterwards. So I think there's a lot to be positive about from our very privileged position of just being like, we're fans of them. Now, to give a more personal example, a year ago, everyone knows, watches the show, knows Gallows and Anderson, my guys. A year ago, they got cut, and it was like, man, like, where do they fit in the landscape? Jeremy can tell you, they've done okay, right? They've done okay. Gallows and Anderson are good. And it's been fun as a fan to be back on that roller coaster. The WWE system is what it is. There's a lot of good with it and a lot of bad, but it is very much a system. You know, when I see tweets like Samoa Joe working Bloodsport, man, it's like, damn, the whole thing is open again now. You know, like, and just as a fan, if they are people you support and enjoy, stick with them, trust them, and I think you'll enjoy it. I mean, the experience should be exciting in the end. It's just, on the day, it feels awful cold, but are we surprised by it being cold, Jeremy? Like, this is, you know, it's awful familiar to me. I mean, we did a show a year ago. It was the exact same feeling. This time, at least, I feel like I can see even more so the light in the tunnel. That's good.
JJ says, tune in for Slammiversary. Impact will scoop up. Yeah, I mean, like they did their biggest number of the year in years last year by just teasing, hey, which WWE star is gonna pop up here on this show? So I'm sure if Impact can get any of these people, they will tease it. Which WWE star is going to pop up on this show? We've got Sean Ross Sapp joining us here as I rearrange thing. Sean, how are you?
Not only will Impact tease the people they're going to have, they will tease several people they won't have.
Yeah, as they'll tease Samoa Joe. They're like, Joe's going to be here. What are you talking about?
They tease Shane Helms to the point to where I was like, see you on Slammiversary. And he's like, motherfucker, I am not at that show. I'm not going to be on there. Because I was like, surely they won't. Yeah, they will. And whatever date they had set for Slammiversary, it is now going to be like 2 days after these 90 days are up, without a doubt.
I think it already is.
I don't even know what day it is.
I think they said Slammiversary was July 19th is what people were talking about. And the non-competes are July 14th. So
really, there's no way they have their July pay-per-view set already.
If it ain't July 19th right now, it is now. All
right. I love this is the concept for Slammiversary moving forward, right? Like when we seize upon the release talent.
And look at what it did for a lot of people. Eric Young had one of his most creative years ever. We didn't get to see what Heath was going to do, but Deonna Purrazzo is what everybody thought she could be. There were a lot of people. Cardona and Myers are having a good feud on Impact, which is not something that I exactly expected post-WWE, but they're doing really good stuff. When I see stuff like this, I look at people like Rhino and even Miro and FTR who were offered this dumb amount of money. And it's like, they would have been cut. Like, all due respect to their talents and their abilities. WWE last year let a bunch of the people that asked for their releases and said, use me better creatively. They cut them. I don't know how much of the case that is this time. I know Samoa Joe wanted to wrestle. I heard that this week, actually, from one of the people that got released. And some of this stuff is just baffling. There were people... Bo Dallas was there Friday doing practice matches. There were people that were brought to SmackDown and told they were going to debut after WrestleMania, and they're gone. I don't know. Oh man,
we were talking like we were trying to kind of silver lining this thing because I was telling the story of like right as I hit publish on people reflecting on 1 year, and Deonna just said like most fulfilling year of my life. So Deonna clearly, like, she's doing very well for herself a year after her release. Like, right when I hit publish on this, the first release, Billy Kay and Mickey James came in. And so Joseph and I were like, a year from now, I feel like a lot of these people are going to be okay. And I think, and you mentioned, like, FTR, Miro, someone like Mickey James. Mickey James has said for months, hey, you know, I'm cleared. I'd like to wrestle again. I'd like to do something. I'm sure a lot of these people feel the same thing of, like, Kalisto, like some of these people probably like, it'd be cool if like I could wrestle. You know, Peyton Royce has cut the Dusty promo on Raw Talk being like, why can't I wrestle? Why can't I do anything? So
all those people that talked up those Raw Talk promos to me, and I tell you, they don't mean anything. No. We get one a month where somebody tells me, oh my God, they pipe bomb. No, they didn't pipe bomb. They didn't. And I've already heard from several of these people, and there are a couple that are really bummed out, you can tell. And then there are a couple that like know that there are brighter skies ahead, so to speak. But I mean, I don't think it's like exactly a secret. Deonna's a friend of mine now. I talk to her pretty often on camera. And she looks at that situation and I said, hey, do you want to know a stat about your WWE run? And she laughed and she's like, oh, that I was 0-20? She's a year later... one of the greatest Impact Knockouts champions ever in a year. Mm-hmm. In a year. We look at Mickey James and Chelsea Green, and we know that they can be over because Chelsea Green, when WWE passed on her the first time, she went to Impact and got over. Then she popped up on Lucha Underground, of all places, and got over. Like you look at Mickey James, she's been over everywhere she's ever been, and she's absolutely right about the double standard in regards to age. And I'm here for her beating the shit out of all these youngsters. I'm ready for it. Tucker, I don't know how many times I've said on review shows, Tucker is the guy that will pop up on AEW Dark and people will go, he's good? Like, people like forget that Elimination Chamber 2020 happened. That's okay. I like to forget it happened too. But Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, like if I'm Ring of Honor, I hit them up because they need more personality and character. And if they're going to sign a bunch of women that can work, they need some personalities to play off of as well. You look at Kalisto. We know that guy can work. He can't cut a promo. Who cares? We know he can work. Bo Dallas, I don't know what the hell that man wants to do. But Gary Cassidy reports that he's not the Fiend, and all of a sudden the guy's out of a job. Who's to blame? Gary Cassidy's to blame.
I'm fine.
WWE's like, he's not anything. WWE's so, just like, he's not. What
I am,
the hell?
I am interested. You mentioned Raw Talk, and like, of course, it means nothing, right? It's Raw Talk. Imagine watching it, but nonetheless, okay. Here's the deal: Billy Kay is unique because forget Raw Talk. Everything they give her on television, she had a park. She's how hilarious. Does that affect? Room when everyone loves her, she does everything she's supposed to do, and it's like, nah, it doesn't matter because I don't want you to be over, so go over there, you know.
Get Shaza over here right now and put her with those two, please. I need the comedy that emanates from Shaza McKenzie, Billy Kay, and Peyton Royce existing on my screen somewhere. And also, I don't like to say, why is this person there? Why is that person not there? Jackson Ryker's still with the company. What a rib! What a rib.
Yeah,
Jeremy, Riker. He was the guy that just sat outside looking jacked in his coat,
right,
because they didn't want him to wrestle on SmackDown when they called up Cutler and Blake. They're like, no, we're good, bro. We're going to let these two do the work. And they're both gone.
They had good matches, too. They had good matches. The gimmick was the problem. They had fine matches. They did a good job. It's just the system is so clearly, I mean, it's faulty, right? We don't need to tell anyone that, but it's a real shame. It is a shame.
When I hear about this, I mean, I've got an interview coming up with Cutler when I'm able to. When it's able to come out, I'm doing an interview with the former Steve Cutler, Steve Macklin. And as bummed out as I was about his departure for him, because that man worked for 6 or 7 years in the PC, got fired on his way home because he said, hey, you guys aren't using me. Can I go bump for the big man class? Keep in mind, the big men that Vince was like, these guys suck and they're dangerous. This guy was like, let me go bump for him. Okay. Well, now Blake is a free agent and they are in this unique situation to where they have a ton of experience. They spent 6 years in the PC learning from the top TV promotion how to work TV. They've got a ton of experience together, but they're also somehow not overexposed because they didn't have any like singular run that you can point to and say, oh, well, we've been there. We've seen that with them. Like if those two guys aren't the kind of guys you want standing behind like a big, big dude, I don't know who are, and they can work their asses off. You got a bunch of super chats, Jeremy. You should probably answer.
Can I run the offense on my own show?
Like, listen, you put me in. I'm LeBron. I got the SF next to my name, but I'm who's got the ball in their hands whenever he wants it. Let's be real.
Mike Proventure says more shocking WWE releases are 1.2 million for AEW rating.
1.2
AEW, yeah. In the middle of my broadcast, I saw chat and I go, wow. Just yeah, out of context, I went, wow.
Yeah, Joseph and I were talking before the show, and I was just checking the rating. I was like, 1.2 for AEW. Like,
yeah, 1.5 when they signed Tucker, my dude. what was Raw this week?
1. Oh, no, it did over 2, like 2.1. Okay. It did just over 2.
Give it a couple weeks.
I mean, AEW now, of course, the thing is maintaining the 1.2 and not dropping back down. That's always the thing. But like, they got Blood and Guts coming up, and that should be a pretty big show for them.
I hope that this isn't like the first AEW show where a bunch of new people just tuned in and then they tune out. Yeah. I hope this is a good sign. But based on the polling that I did, I really expected NXT to have the bigger jump. Because it seemed like people who were going to watch AEW were just going to, they were watching it. But NXT's number was good. I think 800,000 is good for them. But 1.2, Jesus Christ. I don't think anybody thought that was going to happen. I don't think AEW thought that was going to happen.
Do we expect the NXT crew to kind of automatically change now as these spots are filled? Or do they need to fill them because they wasn't on television anyway? What do we think is most likely here?
So I'm gonna look right now at the inactives because Nikki Cross ain't wrestling. She ain't around. So you know, I was worried.
Nikki.
Aleister Black's about to come back because I was told by somebody, don't expect Aleister Black to get fired. Then it's like, oh well, he's got vignettes coming. Okay, if they can get Keith Lee back, that's a big name there.
Mm-hmm.
And I look, okay, God, like a lot of the inactives got released.
Yeah.
Jinder, they had him out in his gear on the ramp. He ain't getting cut, but he'll probably pop up back soon. Right. They called up Vanessa Bourne in February 2020.
Vanessa Bourne guy. Joseph still waiting.
Santana Garrett got called up and has just been chilling. She did the Royal Rumble. But I look at the people who haven't been used and aren't being used, like Ricochet and stuff like that. I was like, okay, well, they're obviously – they should be slotted higher than you have them. So I think what they'll try to do now is retcon a lot of the jobbing and 50-50ing and dork booking that we've seen. And instead of like a lot of the 24/7 stuff, we'll be seeing like Humberto on TV and Gulak on TV and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, Buddy Murphy comes to mind, right, for SmackDown? Yeah. Well, I assume he can wrestle on the show again now.
Yes, that's a good fella.
Wesley Blake's going to go to NWA as Wesley Hansen, and
Jeremy, this show's got a lot of views, man. We can't be doing our inside jokes right now. I'm trying to be serious, man.
God, my favorite is when people are like, oh, well, they'll just go to NWA. And I'm like, yeah. the 2 days of work they get every 3 or 4 months from NWA, yeah, they're going to be on the same brand as Tyrus. Okay. All right.
Tough. Very tough. Sean, we're just popping our main audience with our jokes here. You know, the core people are here to see that. Everyone, of course, you know, you got the new viewers. You've brought in a lot of new viewers. Yeah. We appreciate that.
We're not doing Pawlowski on a Tuesday night numbers or anything, but
wait till the show airs. Wait till it's over. We're going to top Pawlowski. I'll bust out the juice box, the real big draw. The juice box added 20,000 to the WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but that wasn't it.
I mean, who was on night one? Who wasn't on night two? Let's look at the numbers here. See the difference.
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not even gonna entertain that bit at all. should I shoot? You know what? I said that the next time I was on, I was gonna shoot on Joe Hulbert, right? First off, Joe, I told Jeremy this privately. Joe, what are your thoughts on Triller buying Fight?
It seems very bad. To be honest with you, it seems like I'm not the only one without codes anymore. But I don't know.
Without codes, we say, are we going to sit here and pretend
Joseph doesn't give out codes, though?
That you haven't gotten codes via me and Jeremy as a middleman for years.
No, I didn't make this clear. Sean, I think you've got the wrong end of the stick here. I never will pay for wrestling shows. That's clear. I simply want to do competitions because it's good. It's good. It's good branding. That's all, Sean.
Jeremy, about 4 times a year, will pop up and say, can you get Joe this code, brother? And I say, yeah, of course I can. I'm good with the good brothers at Fight. I interviewed Mike Weber. Mike Weber loved me. You know who Mike Weber is? Yeah. Probably not. You don't get codes. But you do, he's just second, third hand. Like, I'm out here. I'm out here opening up my jacket like, got them codes, man. Got them good codes. Bare knuckle fighting championship codes right here. That fighting promotion where they just slap each other. I got those codes.
I really enjoyed when Jeremy and I had to review the last AEW, whatever it was, and we was on the Fight TV, and Jeremy and I texting each other every day. Are you in? Are you logged out? What's happening here? We're just taking each other out of the show.
This is why I have registered my own account, but we got people that that are mad that you're not answering super chats, so I'm gonna go
answer the super chats. Sean wants to talk about codes and stuff. I was going through. Why are they mad? This is a lot of people's first time watching this show. And look, we don't do things like normal around here. All right, we ain't a normal show. If there's one thing about us, it's not normal. Michael Branson says, yes, 1 year from now it will be okay, but we also have another round of releases to be depressed about. Schedule here streams now. Probably should just like April 15th next year. She'll be like, all right, clear your day. Here we go. Round three. Kevin C says, positive side, still get paid for 90 days and don't have to sit in catering. From what I've heard, the catering's very good.
Catering's very good, from what I understand. Yeah. That ain't a good thing.
Budget cuts. Peacock just gave them $1 billion. Yeah, budget cuts is a poor excuse. They'll talk about how they made record profits in like 2 weeks when they hold their next quarterly nonsense. The treatment of Mickey James is disrespectful. She deserves better. Sean, are there more cuts coming?
If we're following last year's formula, I would imagine NXT comes later, but I've not heard of anything.
Hopefully, no. Kenshiro, Kalisto says, good Lucha things for Kalisto. He's going to block me on Twitter now. Kalisto versus, I'm sure that was Rey Fenix, would be a good Lucha thing. He's going to block you on Twitter, too. I don't like when people bring that up on the Twitter. Bud Ryan says, the hundreds and hundreds of the fans' fans.
Yeah, that's real inside. That's very good, though. We're still waiting for Vanessa Bond. Not sure when it'll happen, but we're waiting.
Carlos Easy says, between WWE releases and local news happening in my city, it's been a rough day. Appreciate all the grins from you fellas. Hope things are going well, Carlos Easy. I hope things are good in your city. The WWE releases, what can you do? Frank Aguilar says, had a great bonus this week at work, so take my money. P.S. I'm Carlito for Prez, the guy fantasy booking BPW in Twitch comments every week. He's got some good ideas on the BPW. Everyone go check out the BPW. You'll understand all of these jokes that we're doing.
Well, yeah, people actually like our show, Jeremy. I thought it was just us, like, clicking the video over and over.
No, Sean comes in here and is like, you guys don't, you know, do the normal show. You know, people want to talk about this. People want to talk about that.
Whoa, you asked me to come on.
You are show. I didn't want you to feel shortchanged with your news video. That's all.
I didn't feel shortchanged, my dude. We did 2,000 live viewers.
Riker, Dream, and Devlin still employed. Yikes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm really excited for them to ask Chelsea Green to use her pool for a vignette in like 2 weeks, like they did last year with Cardona.
Yeah, that was tremendous. Josh Fager says, does it make it more likely that the Roddy Strong leaving NXT was legit, not just a story? Yeah, that was total story.
I'm not that lucky.
Mike Provencher says, Danhausen, Iconics, money. Danhausen was on Conan. Sean, he did an interview with you and then parlayed that into an interview with Conan.
Launching pad. That's how we got here.
To be clear, you're saying Conan, not Conan, keeping it 100, being my DM.
Yeah, right? Conan O'Brien.
Yes. Yeah, good. He's bigger. I can see why that'd be different. I get that. Okay.
Yes.
Josh Baker says, how will the free agents affect BPW? No. Well, we got Wesley Hanson. We've got Wesley Hanson.
Samoa Joe's in AEW in our save anyway.
So. Yeah, he is. Well. He is. We do like to get to Samoa Joe. Hannah says, Battle of the Brands ruined. Yeah, they just created a bunch of people, and now they're going to portal all of them. Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate. Mm. Mezzo Banks just realized, as far as singles division, SmackDown only has four women. Bianca, Sasha, Bayley, Mella. You could have easily threw Mickey into that mix.
That cannot be true. I'll look that up right now. That cannot be.
You got Sasha. Tag women.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they're tag team, Sean.
Yeah, but I mean, they've got Bayley, Bianca, Carmella, Liv, Natalya, Nia, Ruby, Sasha, Shayna, Tamina that they can use on that brand. Like they have one for women. Yeah,
not a super chat, but
I don't get any of these inside jokes at all.
Oh, have you watched my podcast and an inside joke, pal? Tad predicts
in your DMs.
Edward says, God bless the chubby chief being in the UK. As us UK people to have a Fightful show at decent UK hours. Keep up the good work, guys. Joseph's a draw, man. Big draw.
That's not why, man. I can tell you that's not why. That's not why this is on UK time. I can tell you. There you go. Thank you.
Brian Heath said, Creed and Breeze are absolutely crushed right now. Yeah, it's tough. All right, Sean. Anything else on the releases? I got Fiend to talk about. The Fiend embargo has been lifted.
Fiend embargo has been lifted. We can now confirm that was not Bo Dallas. And if it was, boy, this storyline just got even worse. Thanks, Gary Cassidy. But legitimately, I'm going to have a bunch of backstage news on these releases on FightfulSelect.com. Please go over there and subscribe. I get the feeling Alex Pawlowski's rant on the next episode of Sour Graps is going to be worth that as well. So thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Sean. Have a good day. Enjoy. Do some work.
Wow.
All right, Joseph. Now we watch as the viewership dies as we just do our show.
Can we talk about Samoa Joe some more? Because I feel like I haven't got it all off my chest.
We can. Let's talk about Samoa
Joe. Can we just fantasy book now and have fun?
Yeah.
Because Sean, the thing about Sean is, guys, and now he's gone, I can say, like, he's like, he's borderline professional, isn't he, Jeremy? Like, he's actually like a big deal. You know, like you and I are sort of, we pretend big stars and all that. Sean's like an actual big deal. So we have to be professional around him. Now that he's well, great, can I just say, I would like Samoa Joe to fight Eddie Kingston.
I apologize, okay. Joseph. Ray Callahan, I'm sorry, Ray, that I missed your chat. Slammiversary, new tagline, our tax returns hit. Samoa Joe is going to be at Slammiversary, I would imagine. No. All right. Samoa Joe, Joseph.
So I, as you know, Jeremy, I'm going to credit myself again. I predicted this would happen because I'm very good at what I do.
True. Watch our Twitch show on Mondays.
Yes, actually said the Samoa Joe would be a thing that would come to head. Now, he feels like the most obvious one to me in terms of destination. Because this is going to sound dismissive, but I mean it. I think AEW is the only one that can actually like pay the kind of money Joe's probably looking at this point in his life. I really do mean that. Like, I think, you know, he's probably a tier above all of the guys that got cut last year. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, Miro, maybe, who ended up in AEW.
Joe's a businessman, so, yeah. Too. Joe, you listen to those interviews.
He's a business,
with him?
Man.
Yeah. he's got financial advisors and everything.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's a very smart guy.
So here's the thing with this is we obviously don't know his health situation, but I get the sense he's left because he wants to wrestle. And we do know that WWE doctors can be coerced in different directions depending on who the talent is and what's going on, right? It's just a weird one. There's been some outliers in the last few years. So I think the thing with Joe is if you give him the kind of schedule that Eddie Kingston has had in AEW where he wrestles, a match a month? Eddie probably wrestles on average, cuts promos. Like, I think Joe is a genuine game changer on that television, in that promotion. Now, when I say game changer, guys, I'm not saying that, like, you know, he's going to come in and get 2 million viewers. What I'm saying is, he's the kind of guy that I think the fan that stands in between AEW and WWE genuinely likes and thinks should have been WWE champion. The fan that doesn't know that he's been injured and he's got this and he's got that, like, I think fans really like Samoa Joe. And the more familiar faces you have that don't appear to the casual fan to be washed, I think the better, man. And Samoa Joe is one of those. Like, everyone that's watched the last, 5-6 years of WWE TV knows how good that guy is, how special he is, and thinks he could have done more. I'm not saying he should be AEW World Champ. I'm just saying he should be a big player and give me a fight with Eddie Kingston, please, Tony Khan. I literally need this. Okay, they wrestled like 15 years ago, and it was kind of, I need it now on TNT. Thank you.
Hannah says maybe WWE doctors told him he's pregnant. Seems like something they would do. Hannah's our pregnancy expert. Hannah Moore, Cher Delaware, will be on the show with a shoot news segment later on. Josh Baker says Shane made over 100K per Raw Underground episode in 2020. Look, they're going to pay that, man. They're doing well in WWE. That's why these cuts are so stupid, because they don't need to do it. They don't need to do it to save money. They make plenty of money.
So here's the thing, okay, is you and I, while we are big stars, we haven't actually got any kind of any standard to uphold. So we'll be sincere with each other here. Which of the cuts do you think were like objectively bullshit? Billy Kay is the one I think we can both lock in, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Billy Kay, like, come on, man. Whatever you think of her as an in-ring, everything you've got to know on television, she killed it. Like, she should have been staying there. And the saddest thing about Billy Kay is, and this might sound pessimistic, but it's my honest opinion, she's kind of better suited to their TV than anyone else's.
Yeah, like, 100%.
Does that make sense? Like, so, you know, like Mickie James, to me, it's like, man, she's great for AEW or an Impact or whoever. With Billy, it's like, yeah, but she's actually best as being a character on their silly TV. She was great at it. So that's a bummer. What other ones do you say, like, not just you were misusing them, but even the way you were using them was fine, too good to be fired, you know? Because, like, someone like Mickey, we think she'd be doing more. She wasn't doing more. So let her go, you know?
I think Chelsea is kind of bullshit.
Agreed.
Because yeah. They had her in a good role in NXT with the Robert Stone brand. They dropped that. She was supposed to be called up. They dropped that in like April or May, August, something like that. I realize there's some months in between there. But like they dropped that, and she was supposed to be called up around that time. Never got called up. Finally got called up in November. Was supposed to win that match, as far as I remember. But then got hurt, so they had to call an audible. And then she was cleared. She was backstage at SmackDown not too long ago. And then they never used her, and then they released her. Like, I think that whole thing's bullshit.
I agree. So So that's them two, I think, goes about saying. Joe, again, we don't know, guys, but Joe feels more like a, here's where I'm going to go with you as a talent. Well, I'd like to wrestle. Okay. You know, that's what it feels like from the outside looking in. Because I think it's pretty obvious. Now, for all we know, Sean may get a report that tonight that they hated Joe's commentary. It seemed like they liked it. So I would guess this is a, you know, a preference thing. Elsewhere, I'm looking at, I think Peyton Royce has really been, I mean, whatever you think of her ceiling, it really feels like they've seriously cut her legs out from under her here. She was in a team that could have been a team for a long time in that division.
Forever. Just
a,
yeah, like it's a kind of team forever.
And, yeah, we have to be realistic. They clearly didn't trust them in ring. And it was obvious when last year they were doing stuff with Bliss Cross, Banks and Bayley came back, and they had like a 5-6 minute match with Banks and Bayley. And Jeremy, you and I could have got in with Banks and Bayley to give us 20 minutes. You know, like at that time, it was telling, and they split them up soon after. But the strangest thing is, it really seemed like with Peyton, they felt they had a single star. It was only, what are we talking here, Jeremy? 8 months ago that was the case? Then when they split them up?
Yeah, August. They split them in August.
Right. 8 months. And, I mean, that is startling. Now, look, was she spectacular showings? No. Was she so bad that in 8 months she went from maybe she's a single star to no job for Peyton? I don't know, man. It really feels like she could have at least got more of a chance to sink or swim as a singles, to me anyway. That one seems like one that could be contended as like, what? Why? You know?
Yeah, Peyton's a tough one because they should have never split the Iconics. They did that for seemingly no reason. And the reason everyone concluded was, oh, they see Peyton as a single star. It's like, all right, if you see her as a single star, fine, split them up. And then they didn't do anything with her. They put her back into a tag team with Lacey Evans.
See, this is the thing. And we had a conversation a long time ago about planning and if planning matters for professional wrestling. And this is a great example of, you know, someone has said Peyton Royce could be a single star. And clearly, no one that matters has put their hand up and said, okay, how are we actually going to do that? Because what happened was, as you just pointed out, she became a single star. They forgot about her for 2 months and then went, we need to have Peyton, tag team with Lacey. They forget their own reasoning for doing these things. If you're going to do that, if you're going to split a team as popular as the Iconics are, you better have her next 6 months mapped out, man. You know, like you can't just do this thing where it's like, yeah, we'll get to it eventually. Because now she's out of the territory. So, I mean, I guess she's an interesting one. You know, when you look at Sean Spears in AEW, that perhaps is a link of some kind. I don't know if that matters. Obviously, I'm speculating. But it would be interesting to see Peyton land in an AEW and adjust the way that Ty Conti did, who came in with a lot less experience than Peyton does. You know, so maybe that's what would be the case. I don't know. It's an interesting one.
Kate Hensler says, give Joe a Z-Pack, he'll be fine. Joe and Punk were already joking on Twitter about this stuff. I don't know if you saw that, Joseph, but I think Joe, of anybody, he's definitely going to be the most fine of anyone. JJ says, Jacob Fatu against Samoa Joe. Look, Court can say he got that money and he'll be like, oh, got a big signing coming in. He ain't got Samoa Joe money.
See, it's one of those ones where the match will be wonderful, but it's a case of if Joe wants to do a world tour, you may get the match. But if Joe's going to be a businessman, I said that quick enough that it wasn't a direct reference once again. If he's going to do that, you know, it's not going to be the case. It really seems if I was to lock in one of these destinations, I'm really confident in Joe being a full-time AEW signing. And to add even more to it, Jeremy, you'll remember this because you did the quotes. I'm sure you did the quotes. You do every quote. Chris Jericho was once asked, WWE guys you'd like to see come over. And he had two answers memorably in my brain. He had Roman Reigns, which he's like ultimate, ridiculous, you know, imaginative one. But the one that he seemed to think was feasible, this is a year or so ago, maybe a bit more, Samoa Joe was the guy he said. He thinks the world of Samoa Joe. And we know if anyone has TK's ear other than them executive vice presidents, it's Chris, right? Yes, you too, yes. But I was very scared about what you're telling me then, but yes, you also. And the thing is, like, I saw someone in the chat mention the roster's too big in AW. And listen, you are absolutely right. Samoa Joe's, you know.
Yeah, we talked about this when Andrade got released of, all right, we know the AEW roster is big. There are some guys that you just make room for. And we said Andrade was one of them because he just has star potential all over the place and can, you know, we can cross over to a new audience as well. Samoa Joe is another guy where it's like, You just make room for that guy. I'm sorry if that means QT Marshall's storyline gets nixed a little bit. Like, you have Samoa Joe on your roster.
He's also not someone who's going to clog things up for long. Like, he's, like, we've got to be real about where Joe's at. I mean, I love the guy, but he's going to have a couple years as like a top guy left at most, right? Yeah. So, but I, again, I can't just snuff because we are all in the bubble and we all, you know everything about all these guys. Joe is one of those guys, one of those professional wrestlers that just the general wrestling fan, if they've watched over the last decade, will like. Every time that dude came out in front of a live audience, whatever injury he was coming back from, whatever position he was in, people loved him, man. They love Samoa Joe. You know, he's the kind of guy, I just realized, Jeremy, they do the thing now where they steal TNA's themes for these things. You know, like Tony Khan pays them like a fiver to get their themes. The old Samoa Joe theme with a shitty rap can come back.
Oh, just glory days. Is he your theme? With the Jada Kiss, is that the one you want?
I don't know. I'd have to. That sounds worse than I remember.
No, the Champ Is Here, Jada Kiss song. That's the one I remember. Samoa Joe. That's what he was using when he was ROH champion.
No. I'm talking about like when he was like Nation of Violence. It's a very bad song, but nonetheless. And he's the fan guy.
Jada Kiss top five, Dead or Alive. That's just off one LP.
But here's the deal, okay? I'm trying to talk about Samoa Joe here. I went one way, and you just was like, okay, this goes direction. The other thing, too, is – okay, Sharma, get out of chat. The other thing is, as a color commentator, Joe's a long-term choice, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's just – people always joke about this, but Samoa Joe's just great, right? He's just good at whatever you give him to do. Like, he'll figure it out. So I'm going to be honest. I said it on to Jeremy before the show, and I wasn't really sure I should say it on, but I'll be real, man. Like, when I read Samoa Joe was cut, like, borderline embarrassing reaction for me. Like, I was like, yes! And so I was like, what happened? I go, Samoa Joe just lost his job. They're like, what? I was like, no. I was like, but he's going to be fine. It's going to be great. I'm going to see him wrestle again. I just want him to, finish this thing the way he deserves to finish, the way he wants to finish it. Because to me, he's like actually one of the greatest wrestlers, one of the all-time greats. So I'm happy for him in a weird way. I hope I've read the situation correctly. We'll see.
Evan Wright says, somebody please call Shingo for a Joe match. Look, if Joe wants to go to New Japan and do a tour there, he can. Are you not a Jada Kiss fan? Joseph?
Of course not. But the chat is all talking about Joe. Like, you've just completely bamboozled all of my Samoa Joe talk has just been like thrown away for Jadakiss talk. Have we got any more to talk about with the releases, or are you ready to do like The Fiend or whatever else you want to do?
We can talk about DMX. Unfortunate passing of DMX.
Yeah.
Let's talk about rap music.
Forget this. Not doing that. Stuff. No, it's not. We've got enough to tackle, man. We've got enough to tackle. But anyone else on the list?
It's a line. Jadakiss top five. Top five.
Yeah, he's not saying it as a take.
That's just off one LP. It's a line off of Made You Look.
I love the idea that you were just doing like a random opinion in the middle of this. Like, yeah, top five. You got a list, Joe. But listen, here we go, okay? I want to do, there's one other person. We spoke about Mickey briefly. Destination for Mickey James. To me, she stands out. Be careful, okay? To me, she stands out as like, Serena Deeb's great. Mickey can bring some stuff that Serena just can't. And if you look how effective Serena's been, I think it bodes really, really well, you know? Because Serena was great, but she's not the personality, the promo, even the star presence that Mickey is. I feel like she's one you've got to pick up, you know? But she could obviously go anywhere. I'm open to ideas. What do you think?
I would imagine Mickey kind of does like open contract type deal. I think she'll be part of the ROH Women of Honor run. I think she will... I think she'll pop up in the NWA. I actually think she'll do a handful of matches for AEW too. Mm-hmm. I think she's just going to go like, wherever I can work, I'm going to work. And a lot of companies will be like, come work for us.
She's like a genuine, I know I kind of, I just said to my judges, one of the greatest wrestlers ever, so people really rolling their eyes, but it never sits well with me the way they treated Mickey, you know? Like, she's actually like an all-time talent and a legend in their own system. Like, she's actually done stuff in their world too. It always was kind of like, oh, man, that felt wrong. I hope that now she gets a treatment fit in there. Like, fruit in my brain immediately goes to Britt Baker is champ. Mickey chasing Britt Baker for a while. That sounds fun to me, you know? Here's a promo she can bring along. So it's a talented group of people that, let's be honest, weren't really doing anything. It's, you know, I think it'll be okay. I hope so anyway.
Yeah, I think Mickey, like, outside of Joe, I think Mickey will be the most fine person on this list, honestly, because there's just going to be so many companies who will just want her, and she can go anywhere she wants.
It's interesting. Like, the talent pool outside of WWE is really pretty special, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where all these people are going to go. Obviously, I hope that everyone lands where they want to be and where their fans want them to be and all that good stuff. But I feel like we increasingly kind of getting towards this point where it's like the balance is starting to go back to the way it should be. For a while there, I want to say in the mid-2010s, it felt like WWE was like, they had a squad that was incomparable to anyone else. Now it's like, man, AEW's got a big crew too. You know, Ring of Honor's got a good top end. Impact's got a good top end. And they should all get better the more times on April 15th John Laurinaitis has to do some budget cuts, you know? So there you go. I'm for it. Jeremy, do your Fiend thing. I feel like that's probably the Fiend thing now, right?
WrestleMania 37 was 5 months ago. It was a good show from what I remember. I've not talked about the Fiend and Randy Orton and Alexa Bliss since the match happened. I embargoed my takes, Joseph, just for this show. Cracking open the Pepsi Max just for me. Thank you. Embargoed the takes just for this show. Joseph, the Fiend, he was burnt. He just magically became healed as he was walking into the arena. He popped out of the box. They completely stole my box bit of the man coming out of the box. He did the match with Orton. He sold, sort of. Alexa Bliss, black ooze ran down her face. I didn't have enough chocolate syrup to do this bit myself. Otherwise, I would have. How scared would you have been if I just randomly in the middle of the show just like squirted a bunch of chocolate syrup on my face?
I mean, considering what this show already entails for me, I probably would have, like, just never spoke to you again. But, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I would have been very scared, yes. Very more scared than I was at 1 a.m. on Sunday when they did what they did. So, continue.
We had the red light up because everyone loved that when they did that the first time around. He lost to an RKO after Alexa Bliss black oozed.
He lost to an RKO, being true, is incredible. So good. Continue.
Box-like structure. Yes, a box of a box-like structure. The next night, he was just Bray Wyatt, and he's like, we're better off. Joseph, look, I think people expect me to like go full bit here and be like, the Fiend, my guy, Bray. It sucks. It sucks, Joseph. They killed my guy. They killed my creative genius. Bray Wyatt, they killed it. I knew this story was like not great a long time ago, and I played it along with the bits because I thought it was funny and stuff. Leading up to Mania, listening to these Alexa Bliss interviews where she's just out of character and just being like, yeah, we're, you know, it's cool. I'm really into it. I don't really know what I'm doing. We'll see what, you know, if they want to add people, whatever. I was like, oh, This doesn't sound too promising here. Yeah. Randy on the bump. I'm messaging you live Randy comments on the bump where I can tell that he's completely checked out and just knows this is complete dog shit. And I'm just like, Joseph Orton is over this shit. Like, he knows this is terrible and just has no interest in it. Orton comes out, couldn't give a shit about anything during his entrance. Does his little pose on the thing, gets out on the turnbuckles, and is just like, does whatever. I'm talking to the EP, and I'm just like, oh, this is terrible. He knows this is bad. He does not give a fuck about this. Like, he knows this is about to be horrible. Yeah. And it was. It was god awful, Joseph. I can't even do a bit on this.
Yeah.
This was just, what are they thinking? And it's not Bray's fault. For anybody who is like, oh, Bray's lost the plot, whatever. Like, I'm sure everybody's read Sean's report on Fightful Select by now. Like, the finish was changed. Apparently Orton thought he was supposed to win. They changed the finish. I don't know. Like, it's tough. It's tough.
So I'm gonna save you here because I hear the pain in your voice, you know? I hear it. Guys, just to be clear, and this show would have been hijacked regardless, clearly, but we did review WrestleMania in like really in pretty good detail, right? We had a 2-hour stream on Twitch. You can still watch that if you want, like, your favorite match to be tackled. Because before I go any further, I don't think we're even going to get to it. So, Banks and Belair, we loved. Night one was great. Night two was fine. Great main event. But we expect to talk about the Fiend, so I'll now placate. And Jeremy and I will, I think, conclude this bit once and for all. I mentioned this on Twitch, and I'll do it again. The worst thing I have ever done on this show, ever, and I'm very reflective right now, Jeremy, you know that. The worst thing I've ever done, you know, more than calling out fake scoopsters and liars and just burying people all the time, is like this thing where we've continued to be at the Braves book in this shit, man. Like, I legit feel bad for him. And I stressed it on Monday. I'll stress it again. Please, please, I'm pleading with you. If you're a fan of the Fiend Bray Wyatt, enjoy whatever you want. Have fun, like it, dislike it, whatever. I'm fine with that. Please don't convince yourself that he is like got an end game for your inspiration, your motivation to watch this stuff, because it isn't up to him.
No.
This thing is changing at every turn. I'm promising you. You are not being fooled by Sean's report or anyone else's. This is a real, you know, it's a sad situation. It's a mess. I feel bad for all the talent involved, all of them. Yes, I can't imagine wasting the resources they have on this whole thing for, in the end, nothing. Because where they've ended up is basically Alexa is a Fiend character. Alexa didn't need to get over. Alexa was over. You know, like it's a mess. I feel bad for those involved. I feel even worse for the fans that truly follow the details and the lore. We joke about it a lot, but like they like it. You know, if you like saying you like it, but you don't deserve to get just spat on when it comes to the payoff. It's just wrong to me. I'm sorry. I think it is.
They're trying so hard too. The people who like the lore, like if you go, there's still some Reddit threads. Like Bray's trying. He's posting his pictures of, I think it's like Samson and Delilah or something, and people are trying to be like, oh, this is what that meant and stuff. They don't know. They have no idea. Just like everybody else in this company, they're told at 4 o'clock when they show up what's going to happen. And then they have to try their best to make sense of it. And Bray, he tries his damnedest on Twitter to actually make sense by posting these pictures and acting like, you know, all of this makes sense and it's tied together somehow and it's going somewhere. It doesn't. They have no idea what's next. The talent doesn't know. The writers don't know. No one knows what's next. They're just told and then they try.
Exactly, and that's it. And I do want to stress, because we've used them all as punching bags at different points, particularly Bray, that I genuinely don't have any more motivation to talk about this ever again. Like, and that's not me doing a bit. I'm done. In more ways than one, I'm done, okay? But the thing is, these are all talented people, and whatever you think of Bray as a worker, he's now got two characters over in, like, pretty big fashion for naught, really. Alexa is doing stuff that, like, you might feel unbiased or whatever. Dude, if this was anyone but Alexa, it'd be infinitely worse, which is an unfathomable fault because it's bad enough with Alexa, you know? Randy is one of my all-time favorite professional wrestlers and was having the best year of his career last year. They're all great. I'm not trying to dismiss them and their work. I'm just pleading with the people that watch this angle to embrace what it is, which is ad-libbed nonsense rather than some sort of meticulous plan, because let me tell you, it's gone. It's absolutely lost its way completely. But not that it even had a way initially, but I'm sure the people involved had a good idea. It's long, long gone, folks. I'm sad to tell you.
I'm sure Bray like did have a good idea when it first started. It was honestly probably nuked when they put him in the title picture because it got over so quick. They're like, let's put him in the title picture. I'm not sure Bray ever wanted to be like, yeah, put the belt on me with all of this. I really don't know if he wanted that. And then they did, and then they completely booked themselves in a corner with it, and it went nowhere. Dude, Joseph, they did a regular wrestling match at WrestleMania. You can't tell. We joked about it beforehand of like, yeah, they should get into a wrestling match. You know, tackle, hip toss, drop down, up and under, do it again, all that nonsense. Like, we joked about it. There's no way Bray Wyatt, when this angle started and they were setting each other on fire and all this shit, was like, all of this is going to end in just a regular old wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
At WrestleMania. There's no way he thought that. No way.
Now, and here's the thing is, someone could say to this, why should Bray Wyatt's take on things matter? Well, look, if you want to run a really serious wrestling promotion and Bray Wyatt says, I'd like to play a killer clown, you are full within your rights to say, no, bro, you're not doing that. But their issue here is not the supernatural stuff. They've embraced that fully. They just have to make everything their own. You listen to the interviews, Jeremy. Bray pitched working with Alexa for the first time. Let me do the mathematics here. Over 4 years ago.
Yeah,
it was the before Alexa first won the SmackDown Women's title.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it and just let Bray do the thing and do what he wants to do with it. You know, like, don't go halfway and do the shit while actually putting your own Pritchard Vince spin on it. Like, because unfortunately, and again, this might sound hyperbolic, but I believe it. Dude, I don't know how much longer Bray can do this stuff. Like, I just don't know how to sustain. Because with Elektra, it's like, look, you always have the out of she's Elektra again. Okay, fine. Randy's out. As he was very happy to say on Raw, he's out. He's gone. They're gone. They're disappeared. I do not know if Bray can sustain this shit for much longer. Like, it feels like even people that love it are like, yeah, I think it's over, man. Like, he's not burnt anymore, which upset, like, his own audience. I don't know.
It's a bummer. I feel for him. Just, he's just weird. Underneath a ramp or something, and they do a little fire graphic, and it's just like, all right, I'm just normal old Fiend again. Probably spent like thousands of dollars on this burnt mask and used it twice. Like,
my friend said to me that he thinks it's just like, you know, it's purely toy production. Like, yeah. Alexa wears 101 different looks. Bray had the burnt, like, they got that shot. And I only read it and was like, probably. You know,
his doll now. Alexa's got some creepy doll that I'm sure people will like buy and stuff. Taxel says, I have to confess, I'm actually a huge Bray Wyatt fan. Nothing wrong with Bray. This is the third time I've done him. Then today happens. I can't with this company. It's shit, dude. Like, just let creative people, and say what you will about Bray's creative genius and stuff. Like, he clearly has some creativity in him. Just let him be creative in his own world. Don't nuke the man as well.
Exactly. Either just don't feature him, which is, look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. That's fair. If you're like, you know what, Bray? We've got the best roster in the world. We don't think you're up to it. Go and play elsewhere. That's absolutely fine. Do your thing. But don't, like, do his universe and then, like, paint this awful picture with it. You know? It just seems wrong. But WrestleMania was good, though, Jeremy.
Tad Predict says, did they give Bray's whole gimmick to Alexa? They don't know. No one knows. No,
they actually don't. Like, genuinely. They have no clue. We should do this, though, quickly to put a bow on it. WrestleMania was a good professional wrestling show, wasn't it? Well, Night One was wonderful.
Yeah, Night One was great. If you want our full WrestleMania takes, I did the Night One post-show review on this channel here, youtube.com/Fightful. And then Joseph and I did a full-on review of every match, really everything from WrestleMania 37 on Twitch, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. The only take that is not on there is my take on Fiend and Orton, and you just got that right here. So, you know, you can combine it all into one thing. This is like the DVD extra, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, that was really sad. Like, when you put it in perspective, the idea that people waited for that, and your take was just like, this is really bad, guys.
Joseph, like, I wanted to like, continue this and thought and try to have fun with it. But, I mean, like,
look, man, this, you know, we spoke about it, we've heard, like, it's time to start fresh, right? It's time for a new year. This chapter is closing. No, but I'm saying, like, the Fiend Bray Wyatt stuff, leave it in this week. Let's leave it with everything else in this week.
Yeah, it's – I wanted to, but I dropped the bits a couple weeks ago because I was no longer possessed after I super kicked the possessed demon of myself. Hey, that's what Bray needs to do, just super kick Alexa. That'll end it right there.
Alexa might be like the tallest person he could super kick feasibly. Without like pulling the groin, that'd be great.
Ramatel says, shout out to the stars, record ratings for the distraction. Yeah, I'm using this in the next contract negotiations as well. I can't lie to our audience. I can't be disingenuous with our audience and be like, oh, this is great, everyone should enjoy it. You guys are missing all the layers. You're missing all the little Easter eggs and stuff. You're not missing anything. Like,
if there's one thing I'd never want to do, it's work our own audience, you know? I'm not into that.
Not when it comes to our takes. Not when it comes
to our takes.
I completely agree. The other kind of big thing from WrestleMania was Becky teased that she was back. And at this point, she's kind of girl who cried wolf. She teased it at Royal Rumble. She teased it here at Mania, night one. She had all the little Easter eggs in her Instagram post. She kind of teased night two, but didn't. Dude, Becky got the Bellas booed. Like, it's kind of her fault they got booed.
Oh, it's generous to the Bellas, but I'm with it. I mean, like, I've got love for the Bella twins. I think they're deserved Hall of Famers, but like, I feel like they were going to get booed throwing Bayley down there regardless, you know?
Maybe.
Bayley's pretty popular.
She is, but like, people were expecting Becky. Becky comes out, and does that moment, she ain't getting booed.
No, she's not. No, I can confirm. Imagine she did though. Imagine Becky came out a year away and if it were just booed out, it'd be incredible. But yes, she did not come out. The Bella Twins did.
It was, everyone thought Becky was going to come back. Joseph, did you think Becky was going to come back?
I actually did. I'd love to be cool guy and be like, no, but I actually legitimately did think she was coming back. I guess in hindsight, you know, and we were going to talk about this before 100 people got released, but, you know, I think we probably kind of got carried away with having fans back and was like, maybe every wrestler ever will return on this show and then things are back to normal. And then by Monday, it was like, oh, no, there's just 10 more Thunderdome screens. So maybe not. I think we have to wait a little longer, Jeremy. But there you go.
Well, clearly, I think one person who didn't think she was going to come back. Look, Joseph, I don't know about you. I've never been pregnant. I don't know.
No, I've looked like it a few times, but I've never been pregnant.
I don't know what goes, you know, how that works. So we have a pregnancy expert on this show because people are like, Becky's coming back. Becky's coming back. Most of these are just men who don't understand how pregnancy works. They don't understand what a woman has to go through with pregnancy, you know? So we have a pregnancy expert. Cher Delaware is here for Cher Delaware's Pregnancy Corner. Put the overlay up. There we go. Here we go. We go live now to Cher Delaware, pregnancy expert.
Thanks, Jeremy. So today we're going to clear up some rumors and gossip about pregnancy. A lot of wrestling fans like to speak on pregnancy like they know what they're talking about when they have absolutely no idea. So I'm going to introduce you to the fourth trimester. Most of us know about the three trimesters that occur during pregnancy. After the baby is born, however, there is something known as the fourth trimester. You're adjusting as a mother, as well as your baby adjusting to life outside the womb. Immediately after the fourth trimester comes a four-month sleep regression for babies. Even if you have a baby that sleeps fantastically, it is most likely going to start waking up every 30 minutes to an hour at night. It is almost 3 weeks long during the sleep regression, and it is a struggle. A big struggle for someone that had a baby, I don't know, maybe the end of November or the early December. For the fourth trimester for the mother, it can be a struggle as well. Postpartum anxiety, postpartum depression, which doesn't go away immediately. It does not affect everyone, but it does affect a large portion of women. Then there are the changes to a body during pregnancy. Not only has your body changed the way that it looks to birth a baby, your feet can grow, your hair falling out, your teeth can shift, your eyes can get worse, and they don't always get better. It is a struggle for so many women, and it is an adjustment to be a mother. I think that pushing a woman to go past where she wants to be and constantly forcing her to do something she's not comfortable with is something that is really wrong with, well, mostly Americans. Other countries tend to have much longer maternity leave than the United States does. At my job alone, I would only get 22 days paid and everything else would have to be unpaid. Insane. So, I believe that is all that we have today to cover. But if you have any more questions, you can always come to me because I am the pregnancy expert. Back to you, Jeremy.
Thank you, Cher Delaware.
Fuck, I've loved this show, bro. Oh, I've loved this show.
People are just going to, they're going to be like, oh, Becky can come back. Becky can come back. No, we're a pregnancy expert telling you why. It's tough. Things that your feet change, Joseph.
Bro, it sounds terrible. Things. No, I don't know. I just will always... The thing is, this is the sad part. There was a lot of good information in there, but I'll always remember that segment most for. Thanks, Jeremy. That was more. That's more sincere than I've ever welcomed you to this show.
I didn't expect that part.
Yes, it's very funny. I wish you could hear. I was actually legitimately... That was very good. I enjoyed it.
I could see you. Stuff. I could see you. We've all been educated. We've all been educated, yep. All right?
So now with that in mind, Jeremy, hang on, before we go, because just to be clear, Becky's coming back though, right? Like, when's that? Are we looking at next week's Raw?
Did you not learn anything, Joseph? Did you not learn anything?
She's the man. She spelled out night one. What do you want from me?
Now for something completely different. Joseph, for weeks, maybe even months at this point, I've been sort of mean to Robert O'Neill. You know, I'll bring him on. We kind of do. He was on for 3 seconds last week. I did the whole gimmick of we replayed the first episode and stuff. You've kind of lightened up on the Robert O'Neill stuff. You haven't been as angry at me, which I appreciate. But it's WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania fallout. We've got Robert O'Neill here to give. I don't even think he's talking about WrestleMania at this point. But we have Robert O'Neill for Robert O'Neill's Corner 3. A full 3 minutes. I swear to everybody, yes. A full 3 minutes. History final.
Uh-oh.
There we go. Hello, Robert O'Neill.
There he is. Okay. I'm doing great. You know, thanks for having me on. It's nice to be back. I got a hat today because I'm looking at my hair. It's bad.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you, Rob. You know, we've been kind of changing things, and like the show is very fluid right now. As you can tell, we got pushback. Your time slot got messed around. Like, you're big bucks now, you know? Like, you've made it. You're a star. And honestly, like, I want to see something this week, man. You've been all over the place. Come on, give me a good 3 minutes. Here we go.
Yeah, man.
First. Music Moonsault says, my wife had her son in August. She's still feeling the effects. Yeah, look, man, you learn something on this show. If nothing else, you're going to learn something on this show.
Yeah, that's going to be tough for me to follow. I did just want to say that Becky's probably going to be back this week. Brock Lesnar's going to be back this week. Raw's going to be.
All right. Hold on. Here we go. You can use your 3 minutes to say this stuff.
Dude's a clown, Jeremy. What did I fight for this, man?
There we go. Robert O'Neill's time starts now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was going to talk about WrestleMania, but WrestleMania was 5 days ago. Everyone has talked about WrestleMania at this point. So I think we're going to start with the NBA. You know, I got my Chicago Bulls shirt on. And, you know, for a team that went all in at the trade deadline and really kind of bought in, what happened, man? I mean, Zach LaVine, I think, has COVID now, is the new report. You know, you trade a top three protected pick to Orlando for Nikola Vucevic, who's been good. Don't get me wrong. He's good. He's an all-star. But I don't know what's going on. Jeremy, I mean, I know I usually use this time for myself, but is this a Billy Donovan staple that they underachieve, or what am I expecting here? That wasn't rhetorical, but I appreciate that. And then, you know what the other thing is about the NBA is it's just a lot of star players getting hurt this year. And, you know, there's a big thing yesterday about they're playing so many games kind of back to back, you know, twice in 3 days. And it's just rough this year, man. It's been tough. It's been tough to watch. I think the playoffs will be okay, but it's been kind of brutal. And I don't like the play-in tournament. I think that's a really poor idea. I hope that goes away very soon. It's just a struggle. And another struggle is me trying to fill time talking about more NBA stuff. So we're going to move on to my second point here. We're going to show some of the action figures I've acquired in the past month, like I said I was going to do.
The unprofessionalism, Bob, man. Come on.
Okay. So I do have 700 words about WrestleMania. I'm not going to lie to you. We could get into that. But
I mean, it feels a little late now. Show me the action figures. Why did I fight for this, Jeremy?
We got this Andre the Giant from WrestleMania 3. Comes in this cool box-like structure.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I like it. You know, got the ring cart.
Here's a question for you, Rob. That is pretty cool. But how many Andre the Giant matches have you watched in your life? Very intrigued by this.
I think all the WrestleMania ones, and then the one where he wins the title from Hogan on the main event. That's about
seven.
Okay, yeah,
he's an icon. Continue. It's fine.
But we got this one. Also, a very cool box-like structure. Got Randy Savage in the ring cart, and I think that's pretty cool. And actually, it's fun because both of these guys are in the Young Rock extended universe as well. So, kind of getting back to my roots here, and I think that was pretty cool. And then on this side, we got a Brock Lesnar from. Right around when he was going to defeat John Cena. So that's good stuff. You see John Cena on the shirt there. We have another Brock Lesnar from the Undisputed Title days. I have that in my basement. Haven't gotten the Brock nameplate yet, but I do love that title quite a bit. And yeah.
That has been Robert O'Neill's Corner 3. Joseph, you kept it. Hannah's correct. You open. Yes. I don't know, Hannah. I'm sorry. You should have been the closing segment.
I question my decision to make Bray seem like the booker of the angle. Nothing I've done was dumber than like actually making Fightful pay up for Robert O'Neill. What has happened to him, dude? Even his tweets suck nowadays. You see that?
This is it's your over. Fault, Joseph. I love you, but like,
yeah, we all make mistakes, Jeremy.
Yeah, it's kind of. What else do we have to talk about? Do you want to talk about the Young Bucks being heels? Is that where we're gonna go next?
I mean, we can. I mean, they were heels. They upset people.
Yeah,
it was nice to see them go back to being.
O'Neill, what are you doing?
Oh. Hey guys. Yeah, I'm still here.
Why are you still here, Bob?
I know you thought you got rid of me, and you know, I get that. But it's a couple things. You know, I'm not here for a month, and suddenly Joseph is, you know, Jack Crosby's here. Oh, he's a big star. You don't need me anymore. And that kind of hurt me a little bit. You know, I thought we had really good negotiations, Jeremy, between you and I, and then I get Joseph turning on me.
Things change, Bob. It's a fluid thing here. I understand what you're saying, but things do change. You got to get that.
Well, things do change. That's correct. And, you know, pretty recently you're like, oh, I don't know how much longer Bray can do this. I don't know how much longer I can do this, speaking about yourself. Jeremy, did you get a chance to look over that new contract that I signed or the whole thing?
It was a busy week. It was WrestleMania week. I was going to today, and then stuff happened. And I have it right here.
If you just want to look through it real quick, because I think there's a couple parts. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not.
What is this, bro? Come on. What kind of stunt is this shit, man? Come on.
I'm not seeing.
Yep. Hold keep on. Reading. You'll get to it.
Okay. Hold on.
Good notes. You're exposing your notes here, Jeremy.
Yeah. This is the contract, Joseph. This is the contract.
But, you know, it's like, it's kind of creative control stuff. You need to care.
Oh, as of 4 p.m. Eastern on April 15th, 2021, Robert O'Neill is the new co-host of The Distraction.
Co-host? We don't need a third man around here, Jeremy.
What it says. Yeah, so what does this mean?
Well, basically what it means is I have some bad news for you, Joseph.
Okay, what kind of bad news are you talking about here, Bob?
Well, you know, you turned on me, you mentioned you want to get out of the business, so here's your opportunity. I'm replacing you.
Replacing me?
Mm-hmm. So, going forward, it'll be me and Jeremy hosting The Distraction.
Why did you just kick Joseph?
I just told him, man, it's me and you now. You signed the contract, I signed the contract, you know, it was notarized. It's new beginning, man.
Clearly, I'm going to have a talk with the Fightful legal team, all right? Because I'm not buying this. I'm not happy with this. I can't get Joseph back on the stream. I don't know what's going on.
He's gone.
All right. So next week, I'm doing a show with you.
Yes.
Next week, every week, is this what's happening?
Yeah, permanent.
We will. I agree. Down with Judas O'Neill. I completely agree. We will get this sorted, everybody. But for right now, I guess Robert O'Neill is the new co-host of The Distraction.